Our scripture reading comes from Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, on page 226 in your Bibles. This is the word of the living God. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law of that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. That's why the reading of the God's Word. Brothers and sisters, have you ever had to wait for something for so long? We sometimes grow impatient while we wait, don't we? We prefer not to wait, especially in the 21st century. However, we like it or not, we all still have to wait for many things in our lives today. Maybe you are waiting impatiently for to be done with your school. Maybe you are looking forward to the day of your birthday so you can have so many presents again. Maybe you are looking forward for your wedding day. Maybe you're looking for the day that you are going to be retired. The one thing that we all know that waiting is challenging, especially when you have to wait so long. Today we are going to look at a historical moment of a nation where their waiting finally comes to an end after 470 years. They have been waiting, dreaming and hoping for this day to come for generations. Some of them even might have forgotten the promise, but the Lord, who gave this promise to them, has been faithful to them for generations. The Lord never forgets His promise. He says in Judges 2:1, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you into the land that I swore to give to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. So today we are going to look at our passage, Joshua 1:1-9, with 2 points. These are, first, God renews His promises, and second, God commissions Joshua. The book of Joshua continues where the book of Deuteronomy left off. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said, Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. This is the first verse of Joshua. Moses, the one whom the Lord used to speak face to face, as man speaks to his friends. We read that in Exodus 33. And he died before he could witness the promise of the Lord came true. The last words of the book of Deuteronomy, you can look at it as well, just a page before, are, and there has not arisen a prophet since Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, none like him, for all the signs and wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of Israel. Deuteronomy 34:10 and 11. The Lord used Moses mightily for his promises. The death of a great leader usually followed by internal conflicts or even sometimes civil wars. That's what we see in the history. This pattern repeats itself again and again. However, this was not the case for Israel because the leader of Israel was not Moses, but was and is the Lord. So Lord raises another person among his covenant people, Joshua, the son of Nun, to lead his people the promised land. We read that the Lord was preparing Joshua for the task before the death of Moses. Joshua stayed with Moses everywhere from the heights of Mount Sinai to daily toil of the tent. He was part of a small contingent of men who entered Canaan, and he was with Caleb, who went to Promised Land as spies and brought back the report. They were the only people who brought back good reports. So, and Deuteronomy 34 says, Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. God raised the right leader in the right time for his people because he is faithful to his promises. Even the death of Moses cannot cripple the divine plan of God. He doesn't need any man to continue his own work. As King David wrote, all mankind stand as a mere breath before the Lord. Neither the death of Moses nor Joshua could hinder the mighty work of the Lord. After hundreds of years, Israel are finally seeing the promised land with their own bare eyes. They are finally there. A nation that was slave for hundreds of years is about to receive their own land, where they can finally live and freely worship to God. And all of this is the work of the Holy One of Israel. He brought them here all the way from Egypt. He took care with them. He fed them. He guided them. Yet even though they saw the land that God promised to them, they rebel against the Lord. And that's why the Lord didn't allow the rebellious generation inherit the land. When they heard about the report of spies who returned from the land of Canaan, and the report was bad, they said, cities are strong, we cannot conquer, we cannot go there. They discouraged people. And after hearing them, they said this to Moses, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness? Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by sword? Our wives or our little ones will become a prey? Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? Their hearts were filled with the fear of the men, rather than the fear of the Lord. They forgot the mighty works of the right hand of the Lord. They despised him. They despised the Lord. So the Lord said, none of those who despise me shall see the land. Number 14, verse 23. But now we are in Joshua chapter 1, not in Numbers. It is time for them to march into the land. This is the land, Lord says, I have given to you. All they need to do is just march into the land. Just go. The land is theirs. The land has already given to them, even before they passed the River Jordan. The Lord is the owner of the land, and he decided to give to Israelites. All they need to do is just to obey and do what God asked them to do. The land of Canaan, from the wilderness, this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward going down to sun, shall be their territory. The Lord has given the promised land to their children. They didn't deserve the land, but they were shown mercy and grace. They were giving a land. In that land, Yahweh had given them rest to Israel from their surrounding enemies. They found the rest. But the covenant that the Lord made with Israel was not just about the promised land. The Lord has promised a greater prophet. The Lord said to Moses and Israel in Deuteronomy 15, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I commanded him. And whoever will not listen to my words, that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. They were waiting for a prophet, not just for the land too. They were waiting for the seed who was going to crush the head of serpent and assure the ultimate victory. So the promised land was shadow of a greater promise. And Moses and Joshua were types of a greater person. The seed who was going to fulfill the promise of the Lord. The prophets and the leaders of the Old Testament and the promise of the seed were all pointing a greater person. These are all pointing towards one person, and we know who he is, Christ Jesus. Hebrews 1:1-2 says, long ago, at many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by prophets, but in these days, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed to heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. As it is written in Hebrew, now we have a greater knowledge than Israelites. Because we know that God has finally fulfilled his promise in Christ Jesus. God has spoken to us by his Son. And God the Son says that himself in Matthew 13. He says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly, I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. We are blessed because we are giving the revelation and we are giving the secret that God kept from our ancestors. As you can see, brothers and sisters, there is ultimately only one covenant in the scriptures. Yes, we talk about two covenants, Old Covenant and New Covenant. However, the Bible talks about one ultimate covenant, the covenant that focuses the coming of the curse reverser, as one of our professors puts it. We believe in the same promises as Joshua. We are giving the same promises as Israelites were given. we are saved by the same faith. We are worshiping the same triune God as they've been worshiping. God who promised them to give a land where they could live in peace, He also promised us a land, New Jerusalem, the house of God, where we can live without any sins and have a true Shabbat rest, finally, in His house. In Acts 2, Peter speaks to those who witnessed the coming of the Spirit, the day of Pentecost, and he quotes from Joel and David, the Old Testament text, and he says, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Because Peter knew the promise of the Old Testament. Peter knew about the seed who was going to crush the head of the serpent. So, when they heard about that, how do you respond to Peter? Do you remember how do they respond? "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to rest of apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord God calls to Himself.'" This is the same promise. And this is the same promise that we given to Israelites before the death of Moses. They believe in the same promise as we believe right now. And this is what they were waiting for. Christ Jesus, cursed version, also speaking to you. He is the seed who has come to crush the head of the serpent. He has come to this world to save the fallen man who became the slaves under the curse of the sin. He is the only one you can put your trust in for the salvation of your souls. If you believe in Him, your salvation is secured by the Holy Spirit, because He has promised not to lose even a single sheep from His sheepfold. Paul says, "If you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise." If you are Christ's, you are heirs according to the same promise. This means that God is going to be faithful to you as He was faithful to Joshua and Israelites. He will never forsake you and leave you, because God is a covenant-keeping God. However, believing in the same promises of God is not just something we exercise in our thoughts and emotions, right? God wants you to act and show your works. Not because you need your works for your salvation, but as the fruits of your faith. Let us read verses 6 through 9 again from Joshua chapter 1. Verses 6 through 9. "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to the according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, for you may have good success wherever you go. These books of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have a good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So after God reminds His covenant and renews His promises, He commissions Joshua to be strong and courageous for the task laid before him. The Lord doesn't commission Joshua to be strong and courageous for doing the task himself. No, the Lord will do the task, but he will deliver Israel before his enemies. However, Lord wants Joshua to be strong and courageous for two reasons. First, this reflects Joshua's own devotion and faithfulness to the promises of God. And second, Joshua needs to be strong and courageous because he is the instrument of God and he is going to face many difficulties during the process. Before God commissions Joshua, what does God say to him in verse 5? He says, I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. So what does Joshua need to hear more for being strong and courageous? Before Joshua does anything, God tells him, no matter what happens, I will be with you. I will never leave you. God is absolutely with him. There is no condition. Joshua has done nothing at this point yet. But God calls Joshua, God promises Joshua to be with him without any condition. And this pattern repeats itself three times in the following verses, just as we read. God calls Joshua to be strong and courageous with the same pattern again and again. First, in verse 6, God says, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land I swore to their fathers to give them. God wants him to be strong and courageous because he has promised the land. Joshua does not need to do anything for taking the land. The land is already given. Secondly, in verse 7 and 8, God wants him to be strong and courageous because if he keeps the law and commandments, he will prosper and be successful. God wants Joshua to focus his words rather than his own might and wisdom. The key to success for Joshua was that he was to be immersed in God's word. And thirdly, in verse 9, God says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God wants him to be strong and courageous because God is already with him. Joshua doesn't need to do anything to gain the favor of God. God is already with him. In short, God wants Joshua to be strong and courageous because of his promise, because he never forsakes and leaves him, because he promised him to be with him. He blesses those who keep his commandment, and he always with his children unconditionally. God gives the land, God blesses his people, and God is faithful to his covenant people. Joshua will not succeed because he obeys God's instruction. He will succeed because God is with him to enable him to obey his instructions. Brothers and sisters, Joshua and all the other our forefathers died. But the Lord says in Hebrews 11, all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them, greeting them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. They desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. The heavenly country has been granted them in the name of Christ Jesus, the one they were waiting for. Brothers and sisters, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God, and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all, Ephesians 4:5. Christ Jesus has come to the world to proclaim the same good news and the same message of salvation in the Old Testament. In the past, so many things kept hidden from them. But today, fullness of God has been revealed through Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is greater than Moses, greater than Joshua. And he is mediator of a better covenant. If you are in Christ, the same promises that the Lord gave Joshua is also giving to you. Be strong and courageous, because God will never forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you can approach the throne of grace so that you may receive mercy and find the grace to help in the time of need, Hebrews 4. And you can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Brothers and sisters, do not be anxious. Listen to Christ, but seek the first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. This is what God expected from Joshua and Israel. As you see, God still expects exactly the same thing from us, from His covenant people. You need to trust the Lord. If the Lord is on your side, who can stand against you? If you trust anything else apart from Christ and promises, you will surely fall. Yes, the path to promised land may look different. There are so many ups and downs, so many different trails. Sometimes you may even be persecuted. So, what do you do when you face difficulties on this path to the promised land? What would you do if you lose everything that makes you comfortable and secure? What happens if you lose your health? What happens if you lose your loved one? What does the Word of God tell us when we find ourselves in those situations? The Word of God says, "Has God not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go, whatever happens to you." People of God, don't be like Israel who despised the Lord, even though they could see the promised land with their bare eyes. They failed to believe the promises of the Lord and became anxious and weary in the faith. We are all giving the revelation about Christ Jesus. We are living under a better covenant, a better mediator. And we have a high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses, yet he is without sin. So let us hold fast our confession. Christ Jesus, the seed of the woman, the curse reverser, says, "In the world, you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world." This is the promise you need to keep in your mind. The Lord is always with you. Amen. Almighty God, graciously grant that your word, which we have heard, may be inscribed inwardly on our hearts. As we receive your word meekly with pure affection, may our hearts be filled with love and reverence for you. Cause us to bear the fruit of your Spirit and to live in holiness, diligently following your commandments. And may it please you to use us to lead those who are lost, wandering and confused into the way of truth. All this we pray for the honor and praise of your name, through Christ.